You all to the March 11th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to number three on the agenda, changes in the meeting agenda. There are no changes in the meeting agenda for this meeting. Number four, student recognition. Ms. Petisic?
Yes, we are very privileged this evening to honor some of our students. And we are going to ask Dr. Baum to please come to the podium.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce someone that I probably have introduced at this podium more than any other person in my 10 or 11 years at this podium. And I'd like to read something that has been said before, but I think it's worth repeating. George Baldo began his employment at Warden Melville High School in the summer of 1998. Prior to coming to Warden Melville, Dr. Baldo was a research assistant in the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at Stony Brook University, where he taught undergraduate, graduate, and medical students for over 20 years. He has lived in the Three Village area since 1958 and, in fact, graduated from Warden Melville High School in 1970. In the fall of 1998, Dr. Baldo took over the old West Prep program, rebranded it INSTAR, and took our students to new levels of success and prominence in the academic world. In his first year at Warden Melville, INSTAR had 9 Intel semifinalists. In his second year, we had 8. Out of the first group of sophomores that had the pleasure of Dr. Baldo's mentorship, 12 of the 22 students that submitted projects to Intel were selected as semifinalists, and one was chosen as a finalist. Intel was so impressed with our students' accomplishments that they decided to recognize our students and Dr. Baldo at a presentation at Warden Melville High School. We have been recognizing Dr. Baldo and our INSTAR students ever since. Dozens of Warden Melville students have received numerous local, regional, and national recognitions for their work and research under the tutelage of Dr. Baldo. Under his leadership, our students have developed a keen understanding of the scientific investigation, presentation process, researched mind-boggling topics, pursued new medical and scientific frontiers, and have certainly made their mark on the medical and scientific worlds. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very proud to introduce to you Dr. Baldo, the leader of our INSTAR program. George.
I don't know what to do after that. Thank you all very much. What I would like to do is now introduce you to some of our students who have garnered, because of their hard work and diligence and creativity and intelligence, have garnered some accolades this year through some of the national science competitions. They've done a wide range of different projects. Again, I thank the board and the administration for inviting them so that we could hear a little bit about their work. The first I'd like to bring up is Niyati Desai. And Mr. Connors, would you like to do the honors with certificates, please? Niyati is a Siemens regional finalist and went to Pittsburgh this year to present her work. For the Siemens competition. She used a form of carbon called graphene to make a new type of transistor that's approximately 100 times smaller than what we have now. The implications with future electronics and technology are fabulous. We will go to a much smaller scale.
Photo op.
Go for the photo op.
Dr. Baldwin.
I'll break the camera. Niti, would you like to stay up? We'll get everybody up here. Okay, our next student is Gary Gee, who is a Siemens semifinalist. Congratulations, Gary. Gary worked on a computer project for facial recognition and action recognition using still photos. The implications here for security purposes, identification, etc., are multitude. Excellent. Our next student is Jessica Ju. Congratulations, Jess. And Mr. Connors has your certificate. Jess worked on a translation program that correctly translates Korean with proper phonemes to written text. And the software that Jessica developed can actually be applied to any language and provide in the future a type of universal translator. Wonderful job, Jess. Jess was one of our Intel Science Talent Search semifinalists. Next is Sapna Nath. Sapna. Congratulations. And Mr. Connors has your certificate. Sapna worked on cell receptor. It's called the death receptor or the FAS receptor. And many times in our bodies, cells are supposed to die. And if they don't do it when they're supposed to, it can lead to cancers. Sapna mapped out how these receptors are located on the cell surface and actually determined that by changing the sequence of the proteins for the receptor, changes the location so that the receptor may or may not be functional. It has wide implications as far as future cancer research and potential cures for getting rid of abnormal cells. And Sapna, I think I said, was one of our Siemens semifinalists. Congratulations, Sapna. And last but not least is Eric Wang. Eric. Congratulations. Eric was this year an Intel Science Talent Search semifinalist. He also used graphene, that particular form of carbon, and created a highly efficient water filter that will remove salts from water and create drinkable water very easily without much energy expenditure. Eric has a bit of a unique story. He wasn't sure he wanted to submit to Intel this year. He did submit to Siemens. Intel comes a little later, and somebody here leaned on him a bit, and fortunately he did make that submission, and I think it was worth the work. Yeah, okay. Congratulations to all of you. Brilliant job. And I'll replace this.
Thank you, Dr. Baldo, and thank you for everything you've done for our students. We could not be more proud of all of you. This is such an impressive accomplishment, and we expect to hear so many good things about you as you go on in the future. So all the best, and thank you.
Again, thank you very much for recognizing us.
Okay, sure. You want to do that? I think they all got that going. Good. I'd like to turn to number 5 on the agenda, our first public participation session. It'll be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual keep his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, turning to number 6, the minutes of February 25th, 2015. May I have a motion? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? One abstention? The minutes are approved. Turning to 7, reports B, student representative report. George?
Thank you. I know they all just bailed on me, but I would like to I would like
nothing
to
personal, George.
I would like to take a moment and those students you just saw. I want to make a note that I've had the pleasure of, you know, being in classes with them over the past few years, and they're pretty much they're geniuses, yeah. But in addition, Nia T. Gary, Jess Supna, and Eric are all just really cool kids. And they're great representations of a real Three Village student, and I thought I'd give them a little shout-out in the beginning of this. Moving on, spring sports started up. Had both lacrosse teams out shoveling the turf. Actually, that was on their own without the direction of the coaches, so they want to play this year. National Honor Society doing a great clothing drive. Key Club and Student Government are actually teaming up to put on a volleyball tournament, which is a first. And Patriot League is going to partner with Gallery North to bring images of veterans' artwork to the halls of Ward Melville to kind of raise community awareness there, which is a great thing that's going to be happening in early April. And that's what it's looking like for right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Budget presentation. Mr. Carlson.
All right, thank you. Start off with our timeline on developing the budget. We're starting tonight with our first real budget presentation. We've actually been working on the budget since back in the fall, and we've been working with our building principals and district level administrators over the last couple of months in working on their budget needs for next year, and that's still ongoing. We have, after tonight, two more budget meetings, presentations with the board, and at the meeting of April 15th, the board is scheduled to adopt the budget. The following day is when I transmit the property tax report card to the State Education Department, and then budget hearing. You know, sometimes people get the misunderstanding of what a budget hearing is. It's really just a presentation on the budget. By that point, the budget has been already adopted, and that's just the terminology that the State Department says we have to use. And then on the third Tuesday of May is the budget vote. And hopefully we will not need a second budget vote this year, which if we did would be on the third Tuesday of June. So to look at the budget from the kind of starting point where we are on the budget, we have some of our major costs are actually decreasing this year. Our retirement system costs for both employees' retirement system and teachers' retirement system are both decreasing, and which is saving us $3.6 million in next year's budget. We also are seeing a decrease in our health insurance rates of 5%. State aid at this point is unknown. I'll get into state aid more in a little bit. We are going to be requesting an increase to our capital projects line. We have spoken with the facilities committee about this. The capital projects is an exclusion from the tax cap. And, you know, with all the money that we've been putting into our buildings and the bond project that we're working on now, We want to continually maintain our buildings, not get to the point where we need major repairs again in the future. So hopefully we can keep up with that. And I will be speaking more with the Facilities Committee about those specific projects and then bring that back to the entire board. We also, something that we've spoken about at our Audit Committee meetings, we really started talking about it last year along with the presentation from our external auditor, is we would like to be less dependent on our use of fund balance and reserves in budgeting. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. One of the things that some of these decrease that we're having in the retirement system and health insurance, along with some decrease in enrollment, is would enable us to do is balance some of the class sizes at the elementary schools. Also, we would like to reduce study halls at the secondary schools and restore some electives at the secondary schools. Those are some of the things that we've unfortunately had to do in the past few years in order to comply with the tax cap. And we hope to be able to take the opportunity this year of decrease in enrollment and some of those costs decreasing to put some of that back. We want to do it in a way that we can sustain it, though. We don't want to put something back this year that has to come out again in another year or two. As far as a budget overview, I would like to say that Andrea, in last week's Village Times Herald, wrote an excellent article about the where we are in the budget now. So great job. So put that in your article this week. What a great article you wrote last week. Tonight I wanted to talk about revenue. Revenue is one of those things that's a little easier to talk about in the budget process because, you know, there's no real decisions made on revenue. We get in as much as we can. Basically, the types of revenue that we get, the biggest, of course, is property taxes. Then the next largest that we get is state aid. Then there's also fund balance, which, as far as using that as a revenue, I'll talk about more in a little bit. And then we have other, and that's interest income. We get our money. We tend to get our money in bunches when we get property tax payments, and we invest the money. Everything's fully collateralized, so there's no risk, which is good in that there's no risk. But the bad part is interest rates are very low because there is no risk. But we do get some interest revenue. Our use of facilities, and we've increased that over the last couple of years. Our child care program, community swim, tuition from other school districts, and that has actually increased pretty substantially in the last couple of years, mainly because of the Three Village Academy. We're getting kids from other districts that they're paying tuition on, and we do have some of our special ed programs at some of our schools, and where there's room available in the program, and we could take a child in from another district that pays tuition. It's not costing us anything more to run the program, to run that class, but now we're getting tuition in. So we do that when it works in our interest. And then, of course, grants, too. Now, grants is really not accounted for in the general fund. Grants are accounted for within what's known as the special aid fund. I just mentioned it. I get to plug the School District Management Efficiency Award. I like doing that. And this coming up year is the last year of it, so you won't be hearing from that about that too much anymore. Gary and Kevin will be happy about that. The tax cap, and I say this all the time, you know, it's referred to as the 2% tax cap, and it's not 2%, and it's not a cap. And if you read when you got your tax rebate incentive check this year on the description of it, it said if your district complied with the 2% tax cap. Even said it right on the thing from the Department of Tax and Finance. And it is neither a cap nor is it 2%. And there's a variety of factors that go into it, which means it can be more or less than 2%. Last year it was less. This coming up year it's going to be 2.93%. And I say it's not a cap either because it's not a cap would mean you cannot exceed it. It is more of a threshold. If we were to exceed that percentage, we would need 60% of the voters to vote yes on the budget in order for it to pass. If we do not exceed that, then we only need the simple majority. We are not planning on putting forth a budget that would not comply with the cap. especially since this year we would not have to make any cuts to the to our programs or services in order to comply with the cap. That doesn't mean nothing gets cut. It doesn't mean there's no changes. It just means that we do not have to cut anything because of the cap, as we have in the past several years. State aid. The governor's budget proposal, and I say claims to increase our state aid, and the reason I say that claims is because we don't know exactly how much it's going to increase. But using the governor's figures of somewhere between 1.7% and 4.8%, if we were to get that as a percentage increase, it would be somewhere between $645,000 and $1,820,000. But because he did not, and this is the first time I've ever seen where the governor did not release district-specific amounts, we don't know, even if they do increase state aid by the 1.7 or the 4.8% or somewhere in between, how much any individual district will get. And we don't know, would that include any reduction to the gap elimination adjustment? The information simply has not been given out. Now, just for informational purposes, if we take total state aid and subtract out building aid, and the reason we would subtract out building aid is because it's directly tied to our capital projects, we're getting $3.5 million less in state aid this year than we were receiving in 2008-2009. So that's, you know, nothing is cheaper, so that's that much more that has to get added to our tax levy. Now, the gap elimination adjustment, we've been talking about this for several years now. As I said, the governor has not made any indication as to what he wants to do with that for this coming up year. The Senate's budget proposal, they claim they would like to wipe out the GEA entirely this coming up year. And the Assembly's budget proposal would not wipe it out entirely, but would cut it, I think, about in half. Statewide, for the current year, the total gap elimination adjustment is a little over $1 billion. And Long Island's share of that is $218 million, which is,
total?
I'm sorry?
What's the total that is allocated to education in the state budget?
It's about $22 billion. The state aid figures for the year 14-15, their formulas say state aid should be about $23 billion. But then they subtract out $1 billion for GEA. So total state aid for the 14-15 years, about $22 billion. I think it's $21.8 billion. Of the total GEA for the state, Long Island school districts are paying 21% of that, yet we only get 12% of the state aid. And Three Villages' share of that is $5.2 million. Last year it was $6.2 million. Total through the current year, 14-15, we've lost over $29 million in state aid because of the gap elimination adjustment. So we do hope that goes away soon. Now, just some information on the yes.
I'm sorry, repeat the last thing you just said. Did you say
we hope it goes away soon? Oh.
Well,
what? Oh, $29 million is what Three Villages' share of the gap elimination adjustment has been since 2009. Before it's called gap elimination adjustment, it was known as the deficit reduction assessment, but we did get federal money to make up for that. But then that once the federal money went away, the gap elimination adjustment, they changed the name and has stayed here ever since. And when in the state aid handbook, what they say is the gap is the difference between budgeted state expenditures and the revenue available, which, okay, great. Last year, when the governor put out his budget proposal for the 14-15 year, he was and he talked all about this, you know, before his reelection campaign, turned the $10 billion deficit into a $2 billion surplus. So that would beg the question, well, if there's a $2 billion surplus, where is there a gap to eliminate? So good question. All right, fund balance. Now, we used to refer to fund balance and reserves. Reserves aren't really called reserves anymore. They're called restricted funds now. It's the same thing, but that's the new terminology, restricted funds. And what we used to call unreserved or undesignated fund balance is now known as assigned and unassigned. And the restricted funds, again, what used to be called reserves, we use four different ones. Workers' compensation, which we're self-insured for, unemployment insurance, which we're also self-insured for, employee benefit accrued liability, which is when employees of ours, when they retire, if they get paid for any unused sick or vacation days, it can come out of that restricted fund. And then there's also a fund, or restricted fund, for retirement contributions to help level out some of the large increases that we may have in from year to year. Assigned fund balance used to be known as either appropriated or designated fund balance, and that's what we would use in the following year as a revenue. We would like to, and this is what we've been talking about with the audit committee, to decrease our reliance on that each year, and I'll explain why in a minute. And then unassigned fund balance, what used to be called unreserved, is the, you know, it's also known as maybe a rainy day fund, emergency funds, and that's limited to 4% of the budget. As of last June, we had about $16.3 million in unassigned fund balance, which includes those restricted funds or reserves. It's the unassigned, unrestricted funds plus the what we used to call the reserves. And we are using as a revenue in the current year's budget $6.5 million. Now, that doesn't mean that at the end of the year we would have less than $10 million in total fund balance, because if we were to budget that way, what would happen is, well, the fund balance would get used up, and then that would be a big increase to our tax levy. Or, since we're in a tax cap, we can't increase the tax levy. It would mean major cuts to our programs. So what we need to do each year is we need to have enough built into the budget, it's known as planned fund balance, so that we don't have that built-in increase the following year. And what's happened, and it typically happens in schools, over the years, the amount that we use each year increases a little bit. We're up to $6.5 million this year. And what we'd like to do for next year is reduce that. But we can also reduce the amount that's built into the budget for planned fund balance by the same amount. So we don't need to cut programs to do this, and we can't increase the levy more than the cap allows, but what it does is it sets us up better for future years, so that in any given year, in order to deal with the tax cap, if we need to use a little more in reserves one year than the previous year, it's a lot easier to do if we're going from maybe $2 million to $2.5 million than $6.5 to $7 million. So that's, you know, we've talked about that before, and we talked about it in more in depth at the audit committee. Now is a good year to do that because of the reductions in retirement system costs and health insurance. So now, until we get state aid, we don't exactly know where we'll be for next year, but we do anticipate some increase. Both the Senate and the Assembly, as I said, want to make major reductions to the gap elimination adjustment. Even for the governor to say a floor of $1.7 million, that would translate to, if we got that percentage, almost $650,000. So I think it's a pretty safe assumption that we'll get something more in state aid next year. As of right now, I'm budgeting just over 2% increase in state aid. Hopefully that goes up a little more. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then we can, let me go back. When I said decrease in our assigned fund balance to $2 to $2.5 million, I'm using $2 million right now. If we didn't get the state aid that I believe we're going to get, we can use a little bit more of the fund balance to make up for that. So we have more staffing meetings. I think we have one tomorrow with our secondary principals to go over their staffing needs for next year. You know, one thing about the tax cap that it's done is, in the past, the school budget, most of the discussion really revolved around how much everything cost And what would that do to the tax levy? And how much is the appropriate increase to the tax levy? That really drove most of the conversations. And we start with that number now. And unless, as in some previous years where we've had to make major cuts, where there's a lot of discussion on that, this year it's pretty much not much change on the staffing. Some, as I said, because of the decrease in enrollment, we can hopefully restore some electives, some balance some class sizes at the elementary schools, but nothing drastic, either adding to or taking from. So that's where we are on the budget right now. So after our meetings with the principals and their staffing needs, we'll come back to the board. We'll discuss more in detail on some of those changes that we'll recommend be made, also on the capital projects. And then, of course, if you have any questions tonight or over the next couple of weeks before the next meeting, if you have any specific questions, we'll be happy to take those and then get answers for you for the next meeting. So that's what I had for tonight, unless there are any questions now.
Any questions or comments? Good. Thank you very much. Turning to item 8, items for board discussion. Any items of board discussion this evening? Okay. 9 information items to the board. I don't think there are any tonight. Okay. Turning to 10, items for board action. D, revision to the appointment of impartial hearing officers for 2014-15. May I have a motion, please, on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Second. Ms. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to E, the notice of public hearing and budget vote and election. Kathy?
This is just the notice that needs to be published and allows us to run the budget vote.
Good. So moved. Dr. Kerman, second. Ms. Mendelson, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to personnel instructional. Gary, anything? Nothing. Okay. Everything routine. Okay. May I have a motion, please, on Mrs. Gish? Second, Ms. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And personnel non-instructional, and that's pretty routine too. Okay. May I have a motion on that, please? Ms. Mendelson, Ms. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And turning to G, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates that are stated. May I have a motion on this, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Mendelson, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And H, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Mendelson, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to 11, other items of interest. Are there any items, Ms. Bliga?
Yes. Just a shout out to our 2 junior highs musicals that are coming up in a couple of weeks. Jelena's Seussical, March 18th to the 21st. Next week, yeah. Murphy, yes, March 24th to the 28th. Mary Poppins, fantastic shows, talented students, dedicated staff. Just a great night if you can get out there. Ward Melville High School will have a Sunday symphony on March 22nd. The high school players will be doing Our Town in the LGI at the end of March as well. And the Key Club at the high school is doing the Senior Citizen Prom on March 21st. I believe it's the 23rd year that they're doing this, and it's a fabulous event that the school and the students and the staff put on. And on the 28th, the high school will host again, as in every year, their annual Bugs Bunny Breakfast. at 10 o'clock in the morning at the in the cafeteria there. And there's also going to be a registration fair at Nassikeag on March 21st at 10 a.m. for the pre-K program that will make its debut in September. So anybody interested that has four-year-old children and would like a pre-K program, there you can go there and check that out on the 21st at 10 a.m. But all this information is on the website as well. If you need anything else, just check it out.
Good. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Just two items
yes.
to
yes.
bring to your attention. Last week, Mark Wood from Trans-Siberian Orchestra worked with our musical program at the high school and did a concert. He's asked that our orchestra play background music in his upcoming CD, so that was a great honor for our orchestra to be able to play alongside him. In addition, on March 22nd, we'll be hosting Sunday at Symphony. It's a free concert at the high school.
Very good. Thank you very much. Ms. Petisic?
Good evening, everyone. As we all are aware, public schools education has been under assault. And we have a governor who would believe that we have droves of ineffective teachers. We know that here in Three Village not to be true. But he would believe that we are failing students, and as a result, we have failing schools, and that we are delivering ineffective teachers and ineffective instruction to our students. Well, I would like to say that the students in Robin Weinstein's sixth grade class would emphatically disagree with that. And while these students are just, I'm going to use this as one example, it is representative of how our students across the district feel about their teachers. Well, they decided to take a deck of cards in her class and say 52 reasons why they love their teacher. And if you indulge me for a few minutes, I'm going to read a few of these to you. You have a warm and kind way of teaching. You have a big heart. You're very grateful. You value us. And you make the world a better place. I think that says it all. And I hope that our governor is listening to our teachers and our staff in believing in our educational system, because we certainly do here in Three Village. So I want to thank all of the teachers here from Mount Elementary School. You do make a difference for students every single day, despite the government.
Amen. Turning to number 12, our second public participation session. This, too, can be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, the board has a need to go into executive session, at which time it will then go into adjournment. For now, we'll go into executive session. Good evening, everyone.